Thank you. Morning, church. Morning. How are we doing? Are you okay? Good. Nearly back into school term this week again, so back into the routine. Hands up, who's looking forward to the routine? Ah, yes. Good. Yeah. Will those people please stand while the others pray for you? Yeah, it's going to be good. And special prayers for those who are maybe heading into secondary school for the first time, or, you know, school can be an interesting place to go back to, I'm sure, for the young people and those off to university and so on. Let's keep people in our prayers over this coming these coming weeks as lots of people are in transition. I wanted to speak from this passage in Romans 10 on the theme of beautiful hope. Beautiful hope. And this week obviously is a massive week for us as a church. It's a week where we're transitioning, aren't we, into a whole new opportunity and a whole new season. And as I was praying, I've been over the summer, I took a few days of retreat to pray and reflect and think again, and a few things came to me. One of the things, I just want to encourage us, and I'll say more on Wednesday, but the thing that really encouraged me was we stepped out as a church in obedience to God to do what has been done at the Hope Center. I just want to remind us, it's not about us. And it's not about a building. It's about obedience to God. And we stepped out in obedience and risk, actually, because we didn't have all the money up front. We stepped out in obedience to God. And this is what happens when we do so. We see His will come about. And also, and it's good for us, and do you remember over the period we've been talking about how the picture, when the foundations were going in, we were talking about foundations of God's Spirit and the Word of God in our lives and drawing all the parallels. Here's a lovely thing, actually, because just on Friday we went around with the architect and the contractor and we did snagging. So that's obviously when we pick out all the little bits and pieces that aren't quite right. And they will be fixed, and I don't know if the beady-eyed among you will see them even on Wednesday, and they will be fixed. But I've been thinking about that, and thinking actually that's also a lovely picture, because I'm not quite finished either. And there's quite a lot of snagging in my life and in your heart. Do you ever find that you do a bit of snagging in your attitudes and in your conversation and in your life? That God is not finished with us yet. Amen? God is not finished with us yet. He is moving in our lives. I want to also be, I suppose, quite open with us today. One of the things I'm trying to learn this year is to be a bit more vulnerable and open. And I have found it a real big challenge in this year, this 14 months of building. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a perfectionist or something, but I find it quite a challenge and sometimes quite burdensome. It hasn't always been an easy thing. It's also been tough to live next door to it for 14 months and see it go up with faith, but also it's had its tough side as well. And one of the things I just wanted to say was, I think one of the things God's calling me to now that the project is nearly done, again, I was thinking about this over the summer and just praying, is that I really want to spend more time with people. Maybe that's why it's been a bit tough, because I've spent a long time with a project, and I really want to be a good shepherd and spend time with you and build up you and build up the town, and I'm looking forward to that. So thank you. Thank you for releasing me for a bit of time for these 14 months to be involved in this project, and it's been a lot, and Julie and Michael will know that it has been a lot, but I really want to commit to being a better shepherd, if you like, and I want to help create more connections, because it's really important in a church, isn't it, that people feel connected and belonging, and that sense of glue that binds us together, and that those are the sorts of things, some of those things I want to be focusing on as we go forward, so I'm really looking forward to that. But I wanted to find a way of saying that to you today, even in the midst of all the excitement of all that's going on. My heart is always for people, and God's heart is always for people, not projects. And that's what this is really about. It's not about a project. And that's why I wanted to share from Romans 10 here this morning, because the thing is, I see something so beautiful in this passage. And when I've walked around Hope Center, and you'll get a chance to on Wednesday, when I walk around there, I also see something beautiful, but it's past the building. The building is beautiful, and it should be, because it's about honoring God and honoring the whole project, and even for generations to come. And we want to build with honor. But the thing that I see that's so beautiful when I think about all this is the lives and the people who will find hope in Jesus. That is what is so beautiful, and that's what I can see, and I want you to see. And it would be lovely to walk around on Wednesday and go, oh wow, isn't that lovely? But you know what? That is not the main, that's not the focus. The focus is saying, God, send your spirit. God, may this be a resource. This is like a tent where we're just going to go out from here and receive people here both ways. But all we want is for people's lives to be transformed by Jesus. All we want is for the hope of the gospel to touch lives. People, there's so many thousands of people who are living within a mile or two or three of where we're sitting this morning, and they don't have hope, and they don't know about Jesus. Or if they do, they don't think that Jesus is the answer to their lives. And what we're about as God's people is to be filled up with that hope and to do everything we can to share that hope with others, because that's what I see, is people finding hope in Jesus. And I really believe, and in praying about our church, and one of the words I have over us going forward is that this God wants to bring a new season of the Spirit here. God wants to bring a new season of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that for many of us, we're in a place where we may feel, you know how we sung about the floods coming. What were the words? I could sing of your love forever. I can't remember the exact words, but there was a song, and all I could think about was these floods that we were singing earlier. I think some of us maybe feel a bit dry in our walk with God, and we need the floods. We need that refreshing flood of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if there's others of us that feel maybe a bit tired. And we might be saying to ourselves, oh, you know, it's quite hard to sort of keep going, to have that get up and go. And even thinking about our faith or reading the scripture or worship or whatever, and we just feel like we're dulled maybe down and dry. I really believe this is God's season for the Spirit of God to be poured out upon us. I don't know if that's you, but we'd love to pray for you after the service or just in a moment for that. And you can be thinking about that. Is that me? Because I sense there's people here today tired. Well, that's not unusual, because if anyone's got small children, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a sort of spiritual tiredness where it's not necessarily to do with lack of sleep. It's just that you're feeling weary. And God wants to touch your heart afresh. Perhaps dry, and by that I mean a bit of a distance with God. Some distance has come between you and the Lord. And Jesus wants to close the gap. And he wants to pour out his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And we would love to see that today and to pray for you. I believe also that it's a season for restoration of passion. This passion that says nothing's impossible with God. This passion that says, Jesus, I love you. Everything within me cries, I love you. The passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to restore that if that's been lost or if that's been set aside. And there's something beautiful here. These are the beautiful things. These are the beautiful things. A building is nice, but what's really beautiful is passion for Jesus. What's really beautiful is seeing lives changed, touched, transformed. God can do it. Nothing is impossible with him. He wants to so encounter us with his love. People talk about being wrecked by the love of God. And that's what it's about. And sometimes we can go on for so long as Christians. We can spend years living off maybe a past experience. God once touched my life and I don't know, you know, you really got touched by God. And then for years we can live in a place of just remembering that great time that we used to live in. God wants to do it afresh. God wants to touch us in a fresh way so that we will be people of hope and that we will be like a peculiar people. The Bible talks about that, peculiar people who are Jesus people, a Jesus movement here in Epping Forest. Who's up for a Jesus movement in Epping Forest? Of people who are not perfect, but who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I also, there was one other word I had actually during worship, which was there may be some people here who feel quite restricted in worship, and you would love to just raise your hands to God. You know, I just want to say, spirit, you know, it's like, it's not a thermometer of spiritual life. Anybody can raise their hands. I mean, you only have to use your brain and tell your muscles to move and tell them, put them up there. It doesn't mean you're any more holy because you put your hands up. But what it does, what it's about, is an expression of surrender and praise and worship and just saying to God, God, I'm yours. You are amazing. I love you. Holy, holy, holy. And for some of us, we maybe feel a bit sort of restricted and bound. And, you know, you might be thinking, what will other people think if I put my hands up? And, you know, I've been there where I thought, everyone will look at me. Or just self-conscious in some way and fearful. But I want to really encourage you, even as we're worshiping later after this message, I want to encourage you to step out beyond and to break that fear. And there's only one way you can break it, and that's to break it and do something and step over the line and say, I don't care what other people may think of me. I'm going to worship the Lord Jesus. He is so amazing. So there may be a few of you that applies to today, and maybe God might have spoken to me about that just to give you a breakthrough, because we want to see you breakthrough. I've often found in worships the most amazing breakthrough and the most amazing times. Worship for me is a time where I really experience a lot of the closeness and the intimacy with God. Not always, but certainly when I step out. Sometimes I don't feel like it, but I step out when I, even when I don't feel like it, still go for it. And that's the sacrifice of praise. So in Romans 10 here, we get something really beautiful, which is this hope. And there's two parts to it. And if you've got your Bibles and keep it open there, Romans 10, there's two very simple words here. And I think what we might do is after the first one, we'll have a little bit of ministry. And then after the second one, we'll do some more. Okay? So we'll split the message into two with some ministry, a ministry sandwich. Okay? So the first thing is verses 9 to 13 is about how to become a Christian. And it's about this hope of the gospel. And the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is right at the heart of all our hope. And he says there, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now, this is a remarkable statement. If you are, obviously, Paul's writing this letter to the Romans, and it was common in that day for Roman citizens to have to say, Caesar is Lord. That's what they used. That was a statement, and actually, it's kind of borrowed from the Romans. the Romans would have known that. And in the time of the Romans, in this context, it was quite a radical and transforming thing to say, Jesus is Lord. Everybody would have known that you should say Caesar is Lord. But actually, we're saying Jesus is Lord. That is something powerful. Those three words, I think, are some of the most radical and transforming words in the whole New Testament. Because if we take on board that truth, Jesus is Lord, that does change everything, doesn't it? That's the whole Christian faith in a nutshell. It's even shorter than John 3:16. Jesus is Lord. Now, how are we doing with that statement this morning? Jesus is Lord over my conversations, over my attitudes, over my priorities and choices, over how I spend my time, how I spend my money, how I choose to, with the places I choose to go, the things I put my investment into. Jesus is Lord. What an amazing lifestyle to live from the lifestyle of Jesus is Lord. And that's a great little test for us to know, how could we live as a Christian? If I can say Jesus is Lord and do X, I think it's going to be okay. Is Jesus Lord this morning in our hearts? Now, because it's one of those things we've heard 100,000 times, Jesus is Lord. We sing it, we read it, we hear it, Jesus is Lord. It's the kind of, it could become water off a duck's back, couldn't it? But can we just recover some of the power of that statement? Jesus is Lord. If you'd give yourself a moment to think about it, and if we can be honest with ourselves, it's more radical than we imagine, isn't it? I can think of plenty ways where Jesus, I would like Jesus to be Lord, but he's not always Lord. I'd like him to be, and it's a massive challenge. Jesus is Lord. There's the gospel in a nutshell. It's a really costly thing to be able to say. It makes a bit of a demand on us. It says to me, if Jesus is Lord, I must be surrendered. I must decrease and he must increase. If he's Lord, I'm not. If he's Lord, what are the adjustments that I would make about that? If he's Lord. That's why it's disturbing when people think that you can be Christian and just live as you want. You can have the world and Jesus at the same time. And many, many people fall into the trap of believing that. But actually, it says Jesus is Lord. I'm not. You're not. I read a beautiful verse, which I thought is yesterday in my own readings, which was in 1 Corinthians 6, where he says, "You are not your own." And when I read that, it was like it hit me in the face. Oh, wow, that is a radical statement in our culture. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. Did you know that you are not your own? Did you know that you don't belong to yourself? You don't even own yourself. We are his, and he is good. It's much better to be his. That's good news. That's not bad news. That's beautiful news. And it's very hopeful news. If I belong to myself and I try to do life myself, I'm going to end up frustrated, angry, fearful, disappointed, anxious, all kinds of things when I try and strive and make my life happen as I want it. It's not a happy place. But the Jesus people are the people who can discover the joy and can discover the peace and can discover the purpose of our lives and the destiny that God's called us to. But we've got to be willing to bow the knee and say, Jesus is Lord. I was speaking on Wednesday night about the Welsh revival, a massive outpouring of the Spirit in last century in Wales. And one of the things that happened at the beginning of that movement was where this young man, Evan Roberts, he heard a message which was, this man called Seth Joshua was preaching, and he said that God wanted to bend us. You know, if you were to go into the presence of the Queen, you'd probably like do a bow or some kind of honor. You know, you'd want to honor the Queen, wouldn't you? You'd give your curtsy, you'd give your bow. You would bow. And God, Jesus calls us to bend. Some of us will not bend. No, my way. That's what I want. I'm not doing it, Lord. I'm not doing it, Jesus. I'm not going to know. And we've got that stubbornness. Any stubborn Christians here today? Yeah. So I love that picture. bend me. And Evan Roberts came out of that meeting really consumed with a passion. He said, God, bend me. May I bend my will to your will. How did Jesus experience that in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And that's how it is for all of us. And some of us, we're in that place of wrestling, but this place of saying Jesus is Lord is a beautiful, beautiful place of surrender. It's a wonderful thing to surrender to God. There's the lovely story of this crofter on the Isle of Lewis who prayed and said, God, I haven't got much to offer, but what there is, you have it all. And that might be where we're at today. You might not think, God, I haven't got a lot to offer, but what there is, God, would you just take it? That's the gospel. The gospel isn't like an added lifestyle of a little bit of Jesus on the perimeter of my life. The gospel is everything. The gospel message of coming to Christ is really about surrender. Saying, repenting is saying, not my way, but yours, your way, God. I'm going to change my direction, and it's going to be you. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Such a powerful declaration. Am I willing to declare, and then am I willing to back up my declaration by my life? Jesus is Lord. It's not church or good works or ourselves that save us. It's Jesus. And then he goes on to say, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, what I love about this bit, aren't these both of these things, declaring with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart God has raised him from the dead, they're both packed and saturated with hope. We serve a living Savior. We don't serve a dead philosophy or some kind of rules and regulations department from on high. We serve a living Savior. Jesus is alive. And we want to be those who have that hope, the blessed hope, this true reality that Jesus lives. And the Bible says that where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them. And he's here by his Holy Spirit right now. Jesus is here. Jesus, who is Lord, is here. And the answer to the problems that are in our lives, in our community, and in our world isn't so much in the White House or 10 Downing Street, but it's in God's house among people who catch the truth that Jesus is alive and he is among us. He is in us. Colossians says that this is the mystery. This is an amazing truth and secret, if you like, but it's made known to us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that is such a message of hope. We've got a resurrection to proclaim. We've got a living Savior who is alive. And this is not just make-believe. This is true. He really lives. That's the hope that we can share with one another. And that's the hope that people don't know in our community. They think that they know what Christianity is. And it's all about rules and regulations and what you do and don't do and things we're against and things that, you know, a lot of times people don't have the true gospel message. They don't know Jesus is alive and loves them and is pursuing them. And God wants to use us to be his ambassadors to pursue people around this place and with love and with hope and with the kingdom of God, healing and prayer. And that's what it's all about. That's what everything here is about. Wanting to see the beauty of God change people's hearts and become that beautiful exchange that Lydia was talking about. There's ashes that he wants to give hope, a beauty instead of ashes, a joy instead of mourning. That's what the Father does, and that's what he wants to do through us. I wonder, Dale, if we could put that slide up that I was asking for earlier. I want to show you a picture. This is a picture at Soul Survivor. I took this picture because it was a powerful moment. Can you see, there's obviously people sitting near us, but there's loads of people standing up, queuing up. Can you see them? Do you know what they're doing? They are queuing up after an invitation to give their life to Jesus. This is young people who want to know Jesus for the first time. And we had the absolute joy. We saw almost 600 young people do that at Soul Survivor in that week, like 2 weeks ago. And Mike would get on the microphone and just say, even after a message, it was nothing to do with the gospel. He would just say, if you don't yet know Jesus, this is your moment. Come, just come now and receive Christ. And look, isn't that great? Doesn't it? Doesn't that like, is anybody? Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? There's more joy in heaven when one sinner repents. And isn't it amazing? That's the joy. That's the hope set before. That's just, I'm excited about seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. And I pray that we can, I just want us to catch that all over our church family today. I wanted to take that picture so that you could just see. I mean, I'm sure we've all, I hope we've all been in a place where we have seen or we know someone who's become a Christian or we've maybe led someone to Christ. Or we've taken someone on an alpha, or something like that has happened, and somebody in your orbit of relationship has believed in Jesus. Have we had that experience? Yeah? I mean, it's the best thing in the whole world. For me, my journey in discovering all that started when I was 16, and I had the first opportunity to lead someone to faith. And that's what got me hooked, because it was so amazing to see someone else come to Christ. It's so amazing. But I wanted to share that with you. But I just want to ask you before we, just as we finish our first section here, have you declared with your mouth, Jesus is Lord? And have you believed in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? I want to give us a moment to just check ourselves. The Bible says, make sure that you're saved. The Bible, and let's go on, because it says here, it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. That's from Isaiah 28. In other words, Jesus is not a disappointment. If you give your life to Jesus, it will be tough, but he will never disappoint you. He'll never let you go. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It says, for there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. And here's an amazing quotation. Everyone needs to memorize it. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's good news, isn't it? That's from Joel chapter 2. The same passage that tells us that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that's including us, isn't it? And it includes our community. It includes Epping, Thaden Boys. It includes all of Epping Forest. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. How many people do we want to call on the name of the Lord? That passion for seeing people touched and the beautiful exchange happening in people's lives where they receive Jesus and give him their sin. And they become a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. In fact, when it says the word creation in that passage in Corinthians, it literally is another word that means prototype. When you come to Christ, you become like a new creation and there's nothing like you. You are one off. You're a prototype in Christ. You're a total one off and you're regenerated. You're made new by Jesus. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called on his name? Have you encouraged others to call on his name? And I want to give us a moment just to wait and ask the Lord, Lord, is my life a life that says Jesus is Lord? Is that my declaration? And am I believing in my heart that God, you are raised from the dead, Lord Jesus? Because maybe that's why some of us may be in that place of distance, or that place of, I don't know what, but, you know, being far from God, because we need to come back to him. Or maybe we've never yet known the Lord Jesus Christ and never been in a relationship with him. But let's take a moment. I'm just going to give us a moment, and I'd like you to read through that again and say, God, is that me? Am I doing that? And I'm going to give you a moment to respond to that afterwards, okay? Let's just take a moment of thinking and praying. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with the mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I just want to give an opportunity today, as those young people stood up there at Soul Survivor and did a brave thing, I want to give an opportunity for anybody who says, I want to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Would you just stand to your feet now, really simply, bravely, quietly, just take a stand to your feet. Thank you. Yeah, bless you. And if you're standing, perhaps you could just pray this prayer along with me, and you might want to pray it in your heart as well. So just pray along with me now. Lord Jesus Christ, I come to you today just as I am. And I want to declare that Jesus is Lord. And believe in my heart that Jesus is alive. Lord Jesus, forgive all my sin. Wash me clean, I pray. And today, I choose to live for you and ask you to be Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. And please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I am yours from this day forward. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. And can we just give a round of applause, because we want to welcome you. We want to welcome you into the God's family, and afterwards I'd love to chat with you, and I'd love you to come forward to receive some prayer from the prayer team later as well. But well done. And here's point number two, and we're going to respond to this as well. And the point number two, and this is verses 14 and 15, this is about the beauty of sharing Jesus. That sharing Jesus is not a burden, it's beautiful. If it feels like a burden or a duty to share Jesus, then we haven't really seen Jesus. Like, if, let's say you discovered that I had said to someone, we're friends, I hope we're friends, we're friends? If you discovered that I had said to someone else that I was embarrassed about you, how would you feel about that? You'd be thinking like, what's wrong with me? What? That's so rude. Why are they embarrassed about me? Is there something wrong with me? You know? We would, wouldn't we? If that's how we treated a friend, don't treat Jesus like you would never treat one of your friends. We don't want to be embarrassed about Jesus. Jesus is amazing. Jesus is magnificent. He is wonderful. He is beautiful. He's powerful. He's awesome. He's the Lord Almighty. And we know him. Why would we be embarrassed about him? If we think about it for a moment. It's not a burdensome thing to share this message. It's a beautiful thing. We know the most captivating person in the whole universe. He's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. He is so wonderful. And I think sometimes whenever we feel, and it's often our fear, where does fear come from? That the fear of sharing our faith, it's not from God, it's from the pit. We often find that fear in us, and we need to break that stronghold of fear and say, God, I repent, and rebuke that stronghold of fear out of our life. Say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Fear, get behind me. And break that fear and turn to Christ and say, God, I want to see you afresh. Were any of the apostles nervous? I don't know if they were nervous, but they were certainly bold because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to share their faith. There was no holding back. Why? Because they'd seen the risen Lord. We can know the risen Lord. And we don't ever want to be limited, held back, handbrake on. Why would we have the handbrake on? I mean, who drives here with the handbrake on? That would be like stupid, wouldn't it? You know, but so many of us are living our Christian life with the handbrake on. And we don't need to. If we see Jesus, that's why I was talking about worship being so important, because worship is the place of encountering him, prayer, the word. I think it's, I'm not surprised if we're nervous or feel burdensome about sharing our faith, if we never read our Bible, never pray, and never get into worship. I could understand that because we're a bit distant from him. But anyone who's close to him will want to share him. And will be, what did Paul say? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for those who believe. And I'm not ashamed. Why would we be ashamed of hope? Why would we be ashamed of love? Why would we be ashamed of love incarnate in a person? Joy in a person. That's who he is. He is awesome. He's glorious. He's Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. That's who he is. We must never, ever be ashamed of him. In fact, he said, if we're ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. Don't treat Jesus like you'd never treat a good friend. He loves you, and he wants you. He wants this to be something not burdensome, but beautiful. That's what this is about, sharing our faith. And Paul has these four questions. He says, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? How do we expect people to come to Christ if they don't believe in him? Good question, perfectly understandable. Number two, how can they believe in the one they have not heard? That is a great point, Paul. How can they believe if they don't know? And there are children, there's thousands of children in Epping Forest who don't know. There's thousands of elderly people. Do your neighbors know? Do my neighbors, do they know? Do people at work around you know about Jesus? See, question number three, how can they hear without someone preaching to them? It doesn't mean we all have to become preachers, but I would definitely say proclaimers. We all need to be proclaimers and saying, and not being ashamed to say. And it's connected to the bit at the top. We've got to speak out sometime. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart. And there's something powerful. And I would say to those who believed even this morning, Tell someone. Say to someone, I believe in Jesus. All you need to do is say, to this morning, find someone over coffee and just say, this morning, I confess Jesus is Lord. They will be really pleased for you. Okay? This is a great safe place to confess with your mouth and to speak it out. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And here's the bottom line, I think, from those four questions. Paul says, we've got to know we're sent. It's the same word, it's the same root as the word apostle, is to be a sent one. Those apostles were sent out. And that's who we are. We are sent ones. And does it say we have to be qualified for this? Does it say somewhere we've got to do it perfectly? Or we have to be strong or clever or something like that? No, there's nothing about that. It just says you've got to know your sent. That is the that's how it works. None of us are qualified or perfect, strong or clever, but we can be sent. And that's what it's about here. That's why anything that God does here will come through sent ones. People who are sent into your workplace, home, friendships, spheres of influence, ministries, to share Jesus. You are missionaries, and we are all missionaries. We're all God's beautiful missionaries that God calls us to. And he says here, he says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We do a lot of, sometimes in our culture, there's a tremendous amount of beautifying that goes on, isn't there, in our culture. How concerned are we as to what the Bible defines as beautiful? This is a beautiful person in the Bible. It's not how they look. It's not what they've got. It's that they're sent. You want to be beautiful? Be sent. That's beautiful to God. And it's doing acts of love. There's so many ways that we can be sent, whether that's through inviting someone on the Alpha course that's coming, getting involved, say, in Ignite, because I know they're going to be starting a new youth club, a new youth outreach is going to be starting in the Hope Center. So if you've got a heart for young people, get involved, and you'll be, it's like, I'm being sent to young people, perhaps. Or maybe it's to the elderly or another group, through CAFE. What about your neighbors? And, you know, we did something recently where it blew our socks off, really. We invited the three streets next to us, and 40 people turned up just for a cream tea. It was great. I had no idea so many people would come. But the word went out, and we were, because we, Caroline and I, got really challenged that we don't know our neighbors well enough. And so we just thought, let's have cream tea. Invitations go out. 40 people came. It was a bit crazy, but it was good. And we're going to follow that up because we want to love them. What about our friends and our conversations? Just naturally conversing with people in our friendships, but making sure that we are the salt of Jesus in those conversations and never ever holding back. It might be to do with an invitation that you can give. And just say to your friend, come on Alpha with me. It might be a testimony or a story. We've all got a story, haven't we? We've all got something to say of what God's done in our lives. Even if you became a Christian as you were a child, like I did, you don't have to have like this massive radical testimony. You just need to have a relationship with Jesus, and you'll tell your story to someone, share your story with someone. It might be for you that you would love to engage in things like apologetics, which is giving the reason for the hope that's in you. People who ask, what about suffering? What about other religions? People have got questions, and maybe you could read up and find out ways to answer and help with those questions for people. It might be that God puts on your heart, because God's heart, whether we like it or not, is actually bent towards the poor, the last, the least, and the lost. And that's actually an amazing way to share. And that was Caroline's message last week, was let's never talk about the poor, but they have names. There are people in our community, as Heather and Arthur and Pauline and others know very well, the food bank team and the loads of, there's so many people in our community who, through social action, community ministry, we can demonstrate the love of Jesus. And they can then ask, what is going on here? Why have you got such hope? We want to be a church of community action. Also, there's healing prayer. And one of the big ways in the Bible as well is signs and wonders. When people are healed, that's one of the big ways Jesus did it, wasn't it? He healed the sick. And what did he say we should do? There's a bit of a clue there. Heal the sick. Heal the sick as a sign of his kingdom. And that's a great way to share your faith. How beautiful are the feet of those who heal the sick. How beautiful are the feet of those who serve the poor. How beautiful are the feet of those who invite others to in on the dance of the kingdom. You know, who invite people in. How beautiful are the feet of those who pray, who talk to your neighbors, who do all of these things. There's beautiful, beautiful ways to make Jesus known and tell others about him. So are we bringing the gospel to others? Why don't we, I just want us to get a moment for prayer now. So maybe we could, let's take a moment just to be quiet, actually. And one of the phrases I really liked Mike Pilavachi used at Soul Survivor, and I would love us to grow in this as a church, is this phrase, the more we wait, the more he does. And sometimes we just need to give God some space. God might be doing something completely different in you this morning, which is great. So just go with that. But he might also have challenged you in a particular way today, or encouraged you to come into a new relationship with him. So we're just going to wait, and I'm going to pray, Holy Spirit, would you come now and touch each of our lives with that fresh touch, that beautiful touch from heaven of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Just welcome the Holy Spirit into your own heart.